Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I want you to know this, that who we are in Christ is a big deal. You know, that the news that we get and the opinions that are shared with us, the agendas that people have around us, we can't let those things eclipse who God is in our lives, who the Word is in our lives. You know, the Word's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is active in us. But we also have to understand other dialogues active in us as well. And we have to guard our hearts. And I'm going to talk about that today and maybe through the summer, because I'm kind of developing a new rant, and I know that gets a little scary from this side of the mic, but I really believe the church has an opportunity right now to step up. And so I know that the prince of the power of the air, probably the best way to describe him is the Antichrist, against Christ, is everything he can do to lie and steal and kill and deceive and accuse the church. He's going to at this time. But it's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to be who God's called us to be. It really is. This is a moment in our life, and I've served God for over 40 years. I've never seen a moment like we have right now. But I also know it can't be a time where we cower. It can't be a time where we're thinking somebody else is gonna do it. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, man, God's given you a word and God's put something in your life, and we've got to profess that word. We've got to be who God's called us to be. And I think about the disciples that had spent so much time with Jesus, and they came upon a man whose son was demon possessed and had possibly had epilepsy and other physical things, but he went into seizures. And I've been around people that had seizures before, and It's amazing. The last time it happened, there was a girl who was up in our office, and she dropped to the ground in a seizure, and she was biting her tongue, and her eyes rolled back. All I could do is pray in tongues. That's all I could do, is just pray in the Spirit. I mean, that's how helpless you feel during that time. But I realize that in the time we're in right now, and I'll just tell you, the gravity of the age that we live in right now, and I don't need to beat the drum on that. Y'all know where we are, okay? With the pandemic, with the whole cry of social injustice and everything else, the racial issues that are in our country, and all the banter about it. And I'm just telling you, we can't be about that just the banter. See, and what we have to understand is, this man brings his son to the disciples, and they couldn't help him. And the man, frustrated, came over to Jesus and said, wait, who are these guys that are traveling with you? And does this really work? Because they couldn't help. And he's frustrated. And Jesus got frustrated with him as well. And Jesus made a statement. And the Lord corrected my doctrine this week as I was studying this. And revelation began to flow in front of me. But Jesus said, these don't come out except by prayer and fasting. And I've always thought, for probably 40 years now, I've thought that Jesus was talking about the demon that had come into that boy's life. But you know what? That's contrary to everything else in the Word about the name of Jesus. That demons are subject to us in Jesus' name. That at the name of Jesus, they have to bow and acknowledge and submit to the Lordship of Jesus. But here, I've always thought that it was that demon, and that's not what it was. He was talking about their unbelief. And the Lord began to break it down for me, and I just broke it down. And if I know you guys are standing, and I know that you're not taking notes yet. You're going to have time in the next few weeks to take these notes. But this is pivotal for us to know, and I kind of for me to cut a path today that we're going to travel on. But there's three types, three things that come into play. There's ignorance, where it's like, I just didn't know. I didn't know what you were going through. I didn't know what you were facing. There's true ignorance that we live in, that we're just not aware of it. You know, they came across a group of disciples in Acts 19 chapter, and they said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And they said, we never even heard there was a Holy Spirit. And so they were ignorant of it, okay? And then there's disbelief. And disbelief is believing error, believing something wrong, that you may believe that God doesn't heal, or you may believe that God doesn't deliver, and you may believe that God takes babies, and you may believe that, and all that stuff, where all of it's error, and it causes doubt and unbelief because of disbelief. But then there's a third one, and this third one is what Jesus was talking about with his disciples. It's a natural unbelief, meaning our five senses. And what's interesting is God didn't intend for his children to operate in this earth with five senses. I believe as Christians, we have a sixth sense. And what we have to understand is these disciples were looking at this guy that was in torment, and they felt helpless. And it's like, I can't do anything. He's probably biting through his tongue, and his eyes were rolled back, and he was all stiff. And man, what can I do? What can I do? And they're yelling, and but their unbelief rose up because of what they saw and what they heard and how they sensed the situation. Understand, that's not who we are. We've got to have a discernment that is operative in our lives, that it rises above those five senses that we have. And so even though, and what's interesting is God even affects those senses. But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, meaning our life begins to smell like God. Even in that sense of smell, God affects it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, there's so many things that we see. Man, look above and where your help comes from. See that God used those senses, but there's a sixth sense in us. And that's what we need to tap into. That's where I'm going this summer. I'm going to that place that's going to override everything. And here's what's interesting, and I'm going to let you sit here in a second. But Isaiah 45:11, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Now listen, ask me of the things concerning my sons. And I believe we inquire of the Lord, we ask of the Lord. But listen to the next phrase. And concerning the work of my hands, he said this, you command me. You know, and what's interesting is that word command doesn't mean that we snap our finger and tell God what to do. That word command is like if Jaime speaks Spanish, he has a command of that language. I have a command of the English language, that we command, listen, the promise of God in the language that we speak. The Bible says that the fruit of our lips, we eat good of them. We overeat by the words that we say. The word becomes seed to our lives. See, that's what we begin to command. We can begin to command God's promise throughout our lives. So I understand we've all got devices that are giving us a constant flow of information. And we've got to understand the way God does anything is the way he does everything. He uses immersion and baptism in our life. We've got to be baptized in Jesus. He's the Lord. How many of you guys are, Jesus is the Lord of your life? Let me see your hands. Jesus is the Lord of your life. See, so now we're baptized in Jesus. We've got to be immersed in his word. We've got to be immersed in his spirit. We've got to be immersed in his passion, in the fire of the Holy Spirit. But as we're immersed in it, we develop a command of the kingdom, a command of his promise, the way God does things. Does that make sense? See, and that's the direction we need to go. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counsel, but God directs our steps. God's bringing direction in your life right now. Right now he is. It's interesting. It's like Nina thinking, there's no way I want to be an intern. In a week before it started in 2005, she decided to be an intern. Why? I promise you, God began to direct her steps. And you'll say, well, yeah, it was the year of her life. No. It's been 15 or 16 years of her life now. where medical science and doctors were telling her it was difficult for her to have babies, and now she's got three. I mean, she and her husband, Jeremy, have grown in wisdom and stature and in ministry, and it all started because God began to direct her steps, and probably had since she was a little girl. But this time was a time where she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then God opened a door, and she was faithful to go through that door. See, she couldn't be ignorant of it. She couldn't think wrongly and have disbelief. And she couldn't have a natural unbelief that would have kept her in a position of doubt. And the Bible says that we're tossed to and fro, and we're double-minded when we begin to doubt. See, that's what God's doing. I believe the Spirit of God's here right now. The Spirit of God's directing you right now. You hear His voice right now. And you know what? Don't doubt it. Just believe. I believe we can walk in faith and have doubt concurrently. I don't believe that the faith that God gave you, He didn't give you a baby faith. He didn't give you an infant faith. The word says the way He is, Jesus, is who we are. I am the way He is. And God, and He's got a mature faith. He's got a mountain-moving faith. He's got a raise-the-dead faith. He's got a blind-eyes-open faith. That's the faith God gave me. But you know what the devil's going to try to do? Get me to use my senses to factor doubt into the equation. Little bit of doubt. See, let me just tell you, you'll say, well, man, if you've got faith as a mustard seed, as a sesame seed, you can tell that mountain to move from here to there. If you've got doubt as a mustard seed, as a sesame seed, it'll negate everything that God wants to do in your life, and it'll keep you on a treadmill, not going anywhere. I'm ready to move from where we are. You guys with me? I'm ready for elevation and blessing. And let me proclaim something. Opportunity in your life in Jesus' name. Now get a good seat, sit up, and pay attention. Welcome, everybody watching online, and Sepulpa and Sky Took. And I want you guys to know we need strong interns. Our internship's the lifeblood of our church. And I just to throw it out there, there's a couple of campuses that have been offered us just in the last couple weeks. And I need trained and able people, people that aren't going to grab a hold of whatever doubt floats by them. Man, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that the objective of this service, the objective of every day of our life should be to get better. How many of you guys are truly getting better? Well, there's times in my life I'm getting better, and then there's other times where it's like, man, I need to get better. So I'm either getting better or needing to get better. And we have to understand, we have to look at our lives that we always have to be getting better. And the mission of this church, just the missional aspect of this church, is to help people win. So wherever you are right now, you may be in a difficult situation in your marriage, we can help you win. Your kids may be going through something. We can help you win. Man, you may be lonely. We can help you win. You might be facing something that is too difficult for you to handle alone. We can help you win. No matter what life looks for you, I believe God's will for your life is to win. And, you know, I'll go so far as to say the purpose of God in your life is to win. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, you know, it's not like God causes loss in your life. He'll never take from you. He always adds to your life. He always brings it. You know, the adage is the good Lord gives, the good Lord takes away. Yeah, He gives what blesses you, and He removes the things that don't. And that's all this is. In Colossians, if you brought your Bibles, turn to Colossians 2, and then we're going to go to Colossians 3, and then we're going to go a couple other places, and then we're going to beat feet and get out of here. Okay, Colossians 2:9. For in Him dwells, now listen, in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Every aspect of God, every bit of God dwells in who Jesus is in our life now. And you are complete in Him. Understand that. See, this is the truth right here. You might feel like you have deficit. You might feel like you have lack. But let me just tell you, you're complete in him. I was complete in him as a brand new Christian. And you know what? I realized I was a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And what happened was, is my life was going in the right direction. See, that's what life is. You guys that are parenting, just get your kids going in the right direction. Just keep that direction right. And then you know what? Opportunity's gonna happen, blessing's gonna happen. Every step of their life, they're going in the right direction. What the devil's gonna try to do is get you to drift a little bit, get you to get out of that direction. And the next thing you know, the first few steps, it's not that big a deal, right? But you travel a few miles in the wrong direction, it becomes a big deal. And you don't realize it until it happened. And see, we've got to understand the direction of life. Some of you guys need to redirect your life today because God, many of the plans of a man's heart, but God directs his step. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. There's not direction. God's going to bring that direction in your life because he's your dad and he's your director in how it works. In Colossians 2:10, Paul writes and says, and you are complete in him. And he's the head of all principality and power. See, I think a surfacey way to say it is God's in control. But I know that God's given me control. God's given me free will to follow his will, and now he's given me control back in my life. In flipping one chapter to the right, Colossians 3, in the first verse, it says, if then you were raised in Christ, now listen, seek those things which are above. Everybody say seek. Do it again. You have to take the initiative. You've got to seek it. It's not just going to fall into your lap. You've got to seek it. Man, I remember in June of 1979, I got in a little trouble and got thrown in jail, and I'm standing in that jail at 5:00 in the morning, and I said, that's it. I'm giving my life to you, God. They let me out of jail a few minutes later. I'd been there all night, and I'm driving home, and all I could think of was I got to get to church. Why? I got to get my life right with God. I'll tell you, the decisions I made in that 24-hour period have still affected my life today. Why? Because I got going in the right direction. I answered an altar call. I gave my life to the Lord. I left that church. I'm driving home from the church service where I'm still hungover thinking, what have I done? And you know what? I made the biggest commitment I've ever made in my life driving home from that church service. You know what it was? I'm going to be at church every Sunday. I'm going every week. It's funny. I get laughed at. We had 22 inches of snow a few years ago. Everybody's canceling services. I didn't cancel the service. You know why? Not because I'm the preacher. No, because in the summer of 1979, when I gave my life to the Lord, I made a commitment I was going to be there every Sunday. I still hold true to that. It's interesting the commitments we make. It's interesting the steps that we take toward the direction. If the devil's getting you off course and getting you to drift a little bit, get back going in the right direction. Do what you know to do. Opetta sang that song about our first love. See, that's the true direction of our life is that first love. That's the real direction that God has us going is that first love. I want all of God that I can get. I remember, man, the first few decisions that I made, commitments I made in my life, they still hold true to me. They still work for me. See, in Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, and this is huge, look, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Underline that, highlight that. Listen, it fits in the pandemic. It fits with the social uprising we've had. It fits with the racial tension that's in the country today. All of it. Man, what we've got to do is set our mind on the things above. See, what happens is we get so much information and there's so much input and there's so many opinions and there's so many agendas that come into our life. You know what they try to do? They try to bump them up in our priorities. See, I don't look at priorities as plural. I look at priority as singular. God's my priority. Man, when I'm with Sandy, she's my priority. Man, when I'm preaching on this stage right now, you're my priority. See, if I look at it like that, then I'm not trying to balance my priorities. Man, raising my son and daughters, they were my priority. See, and that's what we have to, that's how we have to look at it. We have to look at it singularly. And see, and look at it this now, man, all the input that we get, man, we've got to get our help from above. We've got to set our mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Man, all my life, I grew up just east of St. Louis. I was a kid in the 60s and just outside East St. Louis. And you know what? Racial tensions were horrific then. Well, now, what is it? 50 years later, 55 years later, it's like the world's not going to be able to fix that problem. And that's why it's time for the church to rise up, the church to be who we're called to be. And you know who we are? We're love. That's who we are. That's the decision that we make. The decision I make is I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to love her. I'm going to love him. And what's great about the church, how many of you guys want to hear what's great about the church? The world will love lovely people. But the church has got to love unlovely people. People that are hard to, man, how many of you guys have met people in church? They're hard to love, but we just have to choose to. We just got to love them. I'm going to love you through this. This is going to become clear in the word today. In Colossians 3:3, Paul writes, it says, for you died and your life is hidden in with Christ in God. Your choice today is simple. It's where you set your mind, on what you set your mind. Are you going to set your mind on unforgiveness? See, some of you guys, let's go another direction. Let's look at our health. Some of you guys, how many of you guys deal with allergies? Well, those allergies are physical. See, I don't deal with allergies. I'm allergic to one thing. It's because I chose to be allergic to cats. Makes it real easy. How many of you guys are with me and you just don't like cats? Can I see your hands? Okay, just choose to be allergic. Just come and say, hey, would you like a cat? No, I'm allergic to them. It's convenient allergy for me, okay? But listen, some of you guys go, well, you know, no, my allergies are kicking in. See, they become mental. They become emotional. It's not just physical. Where you have to deal with so much in your life, and that I believe unforgiveness is like that. I believe walking in love is like that. I believe the opinions that we take are like that. They start out as physical, and then they become emotional and mental. In 1 John 4:17, John writes and says, love has been perfected among us in this, okay? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That an unbelievable statement right there. Then in the day of judgment, you know what we do? We want to run and hide. But you know what? John writes and says that we have boldness in the day of judgment. That I'm facing judgment, I'm going to be bold. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Amazing statement. But then he goes on. And it becomes even more amazing. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear involves torment. Man, people, the world's going through so much torment. Why? Because fears come into the equation. Why? Because of unbelief, because of ignorance, because of disbelief, and because of natural unbelief. See, that's how this whole thing works. Fear involves torment, but you fears has not been made perfect in love. See, and I believe it's even little things. Some of you guys will say, man, I'm scared of bugs. I'm scared of snakes. I'm scared of rats. No, don't like rats. Anybody likes rats, it's weird. Now somebody's going, man, I love bugs. It's like, yeah, are you kidding me? Who would love bugs? Snakes, it's like, well, I'm a snake person. It's like, oh, have a good life. You don't have to like them or love them or like them, but you can't be in fear of them. Why? Because torment is involved in fear. Man, tormented people, the door that they entered that torment in is just fear. It's just that simple. In 1 John 4:19, he writes, we love him because he first loved us. Okay, here's your takeaways. Love casts out fear and eliminates torment. Man, and I just want to press pause in the service, and I want you to identify any torment that's in your life. Because, you know, I believe the church is full of tormented people. And you know what? I want to attract as many tormented people as we can. I refuse to let you stay tormented. I want to make it hard for you to be tormented in your life. I want to make it hard for you to go to hell. It's your choice, but I want to make it hard for you to make that choice to go to hell. I want it to be hard for you to make that choice to live in torment. Why? Because, man, with fear, torment's involved. But as he is, so are we. There wasn't a lick of fear, so no torment in Jesus' life. In John 1:10, he says he was in the world and the world was made through him, but the world didn't know him. So here we are. We got all this huge voice of the world that's screaming into our lives right now to get our attention, and the world doesn't know Jesus. See, that's the big key. The world is ignorant of Jesus. And sadly, and I know that this spans the globe, I guess now, I think much of the church is ignorant of Jesus as well. And that's troubling to me. Because that's where I'm identified. That's where I am. I'm a church guy. I'm a local church guy. I love the church. I'm going to fight to the end for the local church. Yet, I believe much of the church is ignorant of who Jesus really is. And it's sad. You know, there are laws that govern how God operates, and the world doesn't get it. It's my objective to help you get it. That's what this summer's about. It's the summer of you getting it. It's a summer of exposing ignorance. It's a summer of exposing unbelief and disbelief and natural belief that affects your faith. In James, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, he writes and says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, God says that he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now listen, if we break that down, submission to God's kingdom and humility cures worldliness in our lives. If there's worldliness in your life, if there's temptation and things you're dealing with and doubt and unbelief, let me tell you, just submission to God's way of doing things and simple humility, it cures worldliness in our lives. I'm going to make a statement that you probably never heard before. Humility makes us as powerful as God. You want to have the power of God in your life? The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. So my humility makes me as powerful as God. See, we've got to understand that. In James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he's got to flee from you. See, submitting ourselves to God, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, resist the devil and set your mind against him and he has to flee. See, it's so sad. Man, I'm under attack. What kind of attack? It's demonic attack. You got to submit yourself to God. You've got to resist the devil. What you've got to do is set your mind against the devil, and he has to flee. This is a constant fight in our lives. I've served God for over 41 years, and I'm still dealing with this battle. But it's a battle we have to win every single day. See, mistakes that you've made, they're momentary mistakes. They're momentary weaknesses that become a lifetime of regret. Well, I say we change that up. You got to choose to win every day and in every way. Man, what you've got to do is you've got to go. And that. What do? We go back to the beginning. We return to our first love. Man, why do you love God? Why did you make Jesus Lord of your life? Let me tell you why. He died for your sin. He died for you. That's unforgettable for me. I'm giving him my life now. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live his mission, his vision, his mission, his purpose. I'm going to live his values. So you know what? His values are simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. The way you love God, that's how you love people. And you'll say, well, I don't really know them to love them. You've never seen God either, but you love him. Love's easy. You know what's as easy as love? Forgiveness is as easy as love. And I hear from so many people, say, man, I just can't forgive them. No, you have to. Decisions. Forgiveness is a decision. But you say, yeah, but I don't trust him. No. Trust doesn't factor into forgiveness for me. I just forgive. You know why? God forgave me. I don't want God holding my stuff against me. I know so much more stuff about me than I know about you. I want that forgiveness operative in my life. But you know what? It all works by love. And you know what love does? It casts out fear. And you know what's involved with fear is torment. And that's where the world lives. The world lives in a constant age of fear. The world is tormented. And you know what? When we're looking for help from the world, it's just going to bring torment. It's just going to add fear to our lives. You know, what about no weapon formed against us will ever prosper? What about everything we put our hand to will? What about that? What about all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose? What about the steps of a righteous man are ordered to the Lord? What about if two of us agree as touching anything, God takes care of it? I mean, this becomes so repetitively simple that, wait, we can't fail. Do you understand we can't lose? Do you understand losing's out of the equation for believers, for Christians? You know why? We're not walking in ignorance. We're not walking in disbelief. We're not believing the wrong things. You know, it's when those terrorists flew those planes into those towers in New York. I was on a nationally syndicated radio show with a couple other preachers talking about this being the end. And I'm just sitting there quiet. I'm like, okay, I disagree with them, but they're brothers in the Lord. I don't get it. I'm not making eye contact. I'm just wanting to get out of that studio. And finally, the host said, Pastor Bill, you've not said anything. And I said, yeah. He said, well, you agree with these guys, don't you? I said, no. He said, well, what do you believe? I said, I believe what the word says. If the word says that some terrorists could fly some planes into some buildings and that was the end of the age, I would believe that. But it doesn't say that. It says the gospel will be preached to the four corners of the earth and then the end would come. And I'm looking at these other two preachers and one of them said, shoot, I wish you'd have started with that comment. I wouldn't have said everything I just said. But do you understand that's how life is? It's a lot of fodder. But then God's word cuts right to the chase. That you're blessed. You're blessed coming in and going out. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You're blessed whether the world says you are or not. You know why? The world is ignorant of Jesus and we're not.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.